welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Jay Payleitner, and you can go to his website, fathers52.com. He's the author of 52 Things Kids Need from a Dad, 365 Ways to Say I Love You to Your Kids, 1 Minute Devotions for Dads, 52 Things Sons Need from Their Dads, 52 Things Husbands Need from Their Wives, 52 Things Wives Need from Their Husbands, If God Gave Your Graduation Speech, and today we're going to talk about your book, 52 Things Daughters Need from Their Dads. Welcome, welcome.
Rose, thank you so much. Good to be here. I appreciate it.
I'm holding the book, and of course, I see that dear little girl with her arms around her daddy's neck, and she's just looking out so secure and so happy.
Well, I have no idea who that girl is. Of course, they buy stock photos to put on the cover of books.
Yes,
but Rose, my daughter is 8 times that cute, okay?
Yes,
she, now, she's 20. Well, here's the point on that. It's a cute little girl, a little blonde girl hugging her dad, and she's maybe 3 years old. And when we wrote the book, and they sent me that comp cover to say, Jay, what do you think about this? And it's a beautiful cover, 52 Things Daughters Need from Their Dads. I said, no, we need to put a 12-year-old girl in there, because 12 is the age that dads fear.
Yeah.
Because a little girl, it's easy to hug a little girl.
Yes.
My golly.
Yes.
And you dads know that. You can hug your 3-year-old daughter, your 6-year-old daughter's going to run up to you and wants to spend every second with you because she wants to marry daddy.
Yes.
You know, a 6-year-old girl wants to marry daddy.
That's right.
But we fear that age of 12. Mm-hmm. Dads do because that little girl is turning into a woman, trying to figure out who she is, how she relates to the male of the species, trying to figure out how to relate to dad and who she is. So for a while there, and I warned dads, and they almost all agree with me, that when that little girl is 11, 12, 13, you know, she sits on your lap when she's 8, but she might stop sitting on your lap for a while there. And that's okay.
Yes.
Don't panic about that. if she takes a step back, if she takes a step back away from you for whatever reason, because she doesn't want to talk about the issues that the growing women need to talk about, don't be offended by that. Don't back away yourself, saying, fine, then if you don't want to talk to me or spend time with me, I don't want to talk to you. Instead, take a step closer. Look for ways to enter her world, and then suddenly, when she's 16 or 18, she'll come back and sit on your lap again. it's crazy how that works.
But you know, praise the Lord that someone's taking the time to write a book like that, because daughters do need their dads. The last half of the title, daughters need their dads, pure and simple.
Yeah, and it's stunning how some dads don't even understand that your daughter needs a strong,
positive,
sincere, positive, high integrity male figure in their life. And you know what? If they don't have that, they'll go look someplace else.
Yes.
If they don't have you, or a good strong uncle or grandfather or some male authority figure, might be a strong word, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
She's going to go look for somebody else, If the first rotten scoundrel who takes the place of that, she may go race off and make some really nasty decisions.
Now, one of the chapters, I think it was chapter 6, you talked about the moon.
You're exactly right. 52 chapters in the book, 52 things daughters need from their dad, and some of them are very serious, and we'll cover hopefully a couple of those points, but it gave me a chance to write some shorter chapters that are just fun, and here's the story. 1972, maybe some of your listeners even remember, probably not, who knows. It's the last Apollo mission, Apollo 17. Eugene Cernan was the head of the commander of that mission, and his last role when he was on the moon was literally to drive the lunar rover over and point a camera back at the launch site, so when the LEM, the lunar landing module, blasted off from the moon's surface, they could film that. When he was out there, a distance away, he literally wrote the initials TDC in the moon dust. And that's his daughter, Teresa Dawn Cernan. Now, he had promised to bring her back a moonbeam, but you can't do that. So that was, he did the next best thing. So there's no life. There's no on the moon. There's no wind or rain or anything like that. So those initials are still there. So I guess here's my challenge to dads. Next time you're on the moon, draw your daughter's initials in the moon dust. Now, every one of my chapters has a little takeaway, and certainly that can't be the takeaway because I'm not going to the moon, at least not this week. But here's the takeaway to that, of course. Dad, you know what? Very specifically, if you're at your cottage or out in your backyard, carve your daughter's initials on the fence post. Or if you're pouring a new cement patio, you know, put a little her name with a little heart around it. And as a long-term example of how much you think about her, or maybe even easier would be to get her initials on a coin or a letter opener to put in your pocket, or put her beautiful face on your screensaver on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
If you open a fast food restaurant like Dave Thomas, you could name it Wendy's after her. Or if you invent a cheesecake, Sarah Lee, mm-hmm. A baker named the cheesecake after his daughter, Sarah Lee. Or Austrian businessman back in the 30s, I think it was, went to Daimler-Benz and said, I'm going to order 36 of your best cars, but you need to name them after my daughter, Mercedes. Did you know that? And people didn't know that. So name something after your daughter. If you're designing a subdivision, you know, do a Carly Avenue or a Leslie mm-hmm. Boulevard kind of thing. The reason we do that is not so much to remind dads, because we think about our daughters all the time,
mm-hmm.
but they need to know that we're thinking about them.
Yeah,
because that's really important for a little girl growing up to go, my daddy knows me, cares about me, thinks mm-hmm. about me all the time. So there's kind of the takeaway, Dad. Do something so that your daughter knows that you're thinking about her.
I mean, I in my own life can remember wanting to do certain things or go certain places, but I knew my dad would be disappointed. I didn't want to break his heart, and it really protected me. It served as a protection.
Well, and that goes back to that, Dad, you need to be the rock at home so that you can send your kids out, and then they come back, and they know you're there. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, if your dad wasn't around, then you weren't worried about that.
Yeah.
But because your dad was a strong figure mm-hmm. who you cared about, what he thought, not this creepy authoritarian disciplinarian necessarily, but he's there.
Yes.
And when you come back, when he says, how was your evening, daughter?
Yeah.
Rosie, how was your day?
Yeah.
How was your evening? You got to say, Dad, it was great. And here's some things I did, because you know he's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, dads? Take that role. Yeah. Accept that role. Grab that role, because that's fun. It's interactive.
Mm-hmm.
And your daughter needs that. Very good, Rose.
Yeah,
thanks.
And how do dads know to do that? Because I think of my own father. He didn't have the benefit of, you know, these books, 52 Things Daughters Need from Their Dads. And I don't even know if his father had taught him, but he did. Maybe his relationship with Jesus helped him know, because every night when we sat down to eat, my mom was very getting the food on the table and get her done. And my dad was going, everyone needs to tell me today what they did today. And we all four of us kids had to say, you know, something interesting that had happened in our day.
Mm.
Now that brings me to chapter 4. I know I'm kind of skipping around in your book. Modesty, you know. Modesty is really attacked with the media and how we think we should look. And
yeah. A friend of mine, and these stories come from my friends and that kind of thing. A friend of mine told me the story across lunch not too long ago, actually. He has a 13-year-old daughter. He had a 13-year-old daughter. She's a little bit older now. And they had a great relationship. He would talk to her about sexual purity and intimacy and inner beauty. That kind of thing, and great conversations. But he had never talked specifically with her about the length of blue jean shorts. So she's 13, cute little girl. One spring day, she's going out to the bus, and her dad has the courage to say, "Sweetheart, I can't let you go to school like that. Your shorts are too short." Okay, Rose. Now, what did that little girl do? Give me your best guess. What that little girl did? 13 years old.
Well, she was probably offended that he wasn't going to let her do what she wanted to do. But I bet you she stopped and went back and change.
No, of course not. Come on.
I don't know.
No, it's all right. No, you're right. Like, who knows? Who knows? If that girl was scared of her dad, maybe. But if they had a relationship, anyways, she jumped on the bus. She went and got on the bus and went to school. So that dad thinks he's a failure now. Thinks he's a failure, mm-hmm. that he let down God. He let down his daughter. He's not doing his job as a father. So she comes home from school that night, and they don't talk. This is how he chooses to deal with it. Because he's wrestling with this, and so is she, apparently. And for a couple of days, it's a little frosty. That happens with 13-year-old girls.
Yeah.
But then after a couple of days, you know, pass the salt, and what's going on, and, you know, they enter each other's world a little bit, and they have bedtime prayers. So it's kind of back to normal, except for two things. Rose, she never wore those shorts again.
Amen.
And even more amazingly, that father was in his daughter's bedroom a week or so later. A little yellow sticky note, a little post-it note, was on her mirror that she had written in her own hand that said, "Does what you see honor God?" If that father had screamed at her and grabbed her and thrown her back upstairs and put some decent clothes on, girl, then that wouldn't have been her own decision. But because he had the foresight to spend time with her and pour into her life and build a relationship, mm-hmm. and then had the courage to speak truth, he started to speak truth. Now she owns that decision herself.
Amen.
She owns that decision herself. So, you know what? We can't, you know, 30 years ago, we could protect our daughters from all the nasty stuff out there. And now we can't.
Yeah.
You just can't protect them. So you have to equip them to make their own decisions. Because if you're going to be the fashion police, you can't leave with that blouse on because it's a tank top or whatever. And then she puts a bulky sweater on. And she gets to school and takes the bulky sweater off.
Mm-hmm. You
think you've protected her, but you haven't. You have to equip her to make her own decisions, to say no to the R-rated movies, to say no to the whatever decisions are out there that girls are going to make as they get older. Because, Dad, here's the clue, you're not going to be there forever.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
And what a wonderful idea that some parents forget. God gives us the power of choice. We need to give our children the power of choice.
I'm writing that down. That's exactly right, Rose.
I mean,
exactly.
I've seen so many times, and even in my own parenting, where I thought, well, you know, why do I have to do this, Mom?
Yeah.
Because I say so.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Isn't that...
And if you find, Dad, if you find yourself saying that you got to chase your kids down and just, you know, handcuff them...
Yeah.
They'll never be ready to go out in the world on their own.
That's right. We have to take a break right here, but when we come back, I want to talk about chapter 2 where you address dating your daughter. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word. mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome back. I'm here with Jay Payleitner. You can go to his website, fathers52.com, and we're discussing his book, 52 Things Daughters Need from Their Dads. And I really appreciate the first half of the show, and I know I'm going to love the second half even more. Date your daughters. That sounds like a great, great step.
Well, and we've heard that before, that dads should date mm-hmm. their daughter. But the reasons why is because you are in the best position to guide her for future choices, for ministry opportunities, for career paths, for where she should go to school. Should she go to big school or small school? What kind of things is she scared of? What things motivates her? So, dads, you need to kind of get into her head, but you can't get that by just staring at her. You got to do things with her. And, of course, boys, you got to go out and do things side by side. But with little girls, all daughters, you got to do things where you're face to face, nose to nose, doing things. And oh my golly, there's a couple chapters that I kind of dedicate to the idea of dating your daughter, and one just says a bunch of ideas and it's easy when they're little, when they're 3 and 4, you know, you just get some sidewalk chalk and you go out and draw silly faces on the sidewalk and then cry about it when it rains because they're gone. Or do, you know, bubbles out in the driveway, hula hoop, whatever it is, hopscotch. But have you played, dads, have you played hopscotch with your daughter? If you haven't, shame on you. Go play hopscotch. My golly. And then once she's in about third grade, go ahead and start using the word date. You know, take her to McDonald's. Take her to out for ice cream, or to the when the zoo has a new baby animal born. That's your cue. Go to the zoo with just if you have, you know, 3 or 4 kids, go with your whole family sometimes. But you also have to do one on one, especially with your girls, and enter their lives. And that's when they're third grade. And then of course it gets even more important when they get older, because as we say, when they're younger they'll make time for you. When they're older, you have to make time for them. So yeah, get serious about dating your daughter. Last story in that regard is one of my buddies. His daughter likes sushi, and he likes sushi. The mom in the family doesn't so much. So that's kind of their cue. That's their thing. When he has something to talk about, or she or the daughter has something to talk about, hey, Dad, I feel like some sushi tonight. So she's not saying, Dad, I need your help with the problem. It's like, let's go ahead and get some, that's their cue. Let's go get some sushi together, and they go chat and talk through what's going on with their world. A great way to connect. So look for that. I hate raw fish. But so, Dad, mm-hmm. think of something you can connect with your daughter. It could be, you know, softball practice or driving her here or there or doing things. But, yeah, be intentional about that.
Now, when you say orchestrate something to go wrong.
Oh, well, yeah. You know what? If you can go on a date with your daughter, maybe when she's, you know, getting to be that dating age, whatever that is, if you can kind of go to a restaurant where the tables are overbooked, or go to a bowling alley where the lanes are closed because there's too many groups going on, or lock your keys in the car, or get a flat tire. If you can make that happen, that's awesome, because you can model for her how a young man should react to something when the date goes wrong. And obviously you have to, and if you spend enough time with your daughter, things will go wrong. Oh my golly, this road's we're going to be late for whatever movie we're going mm-hmm. to, because of the construction. And so because of course, with all the things that dads do for their daughters, one of the most important thing is modeling how a young man should treat her and what she's looking for in a husband later on. So she'll either going to accept you or reject you, Dad, depending on how you've been treating her.
You know, I think of all of these things we've been talking about. We know, though, that underlying all of it is that child's self-worth, their self-esteem.
Well, yeah, especially, thank you, Rose. That's great insight, especially for daughters. Guys, I apologize, men, but you know what I'm talking about. Guys, we can look in the mirror and go, we look in the mirror and say, oh, that's not too bad. I'm a little buff there. I got some muscles here. It's like we for some reason, we think that we're better looking than we are. Silly. Versus gals, starting at a pretty young age these days, a woman looks into the mirror and sees, oh, I should lose a few pounds. Even if you are a fashion model, even if you're absolutely flat, knocked down, dry out, gorgeous. Yes. You think you look, you see flaws, or you make up flaws. I don't know why that is, but Rose, you're lovely. But yeah, I know how that is with women. I've talked to enough, and dads, if you don't get that, your daughter thinks she's ugly. Mm-hmm. It's just ridiculous, and you think she's beautiful. So how could she think she's ugly? So you know, you need to love her unconditionally, so she knows that. You need to affirm her. And never talk about body issues or weight issues with your daughter. I
really do have questions about this, because in the Christian community, we don't want our daughter. It almost seems as if a daughter is beautiful, that we don't want them to be proud. And so as parents, we try to make sure that they don't know it, so that they will grow up as humble Christians. Have you run across
any
of that?
Well, yeah, I think the word again, I'm not a Greek scholar or that kind of thing, or Hebrew, but the word pride gets a bad rap. You know, we can't be proud. We have to have our relationship with Jesus should be the thing that we boast in. We're not supposed to boast about anything. But we have to carry ourselves with a sense of purpose and dignity and grace and beauty. And I think so. I think it's okay. Tell me, Rose, if I'm wrong. If I can be, if my kid does something good, can I be proud of them? Is that okay?
I think that it absolutely. I think absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's ridiculous to say otherwise. Occasionally, I'll get someone who, again, the word proud, I don't know how it translates into Greek, but I think we need to differentiate. There's multiple definitions of love, so there can certainly be multiple definitions of pride. So I don't want to get hung up on that. But, you know, yeah, we should be proud of our kids and again, help them walk in grace and dignity and beauty and be a good role model. And Christians do good things, and Christians do have achievements kind of thing. But, you know, if we're saying to our daughter, hey, well, why don't you eat an apple instead? Or, you know, that can of Coke has 140 calories. Or, sweetheart, no one expects you to look like a supermodel. A dad might say something like that and think he's helping.
Yeah.
But what does that daughter hear when dad says something like,
I'm fat.
Yes. Oh, my golly. Yes. And dad thinks I'm fat. So don't even go there.
Mm-hmm.
But let me kind of turn the page on this whole conversation about self-esteem and self-worth. And I think of Matthew 25, I think it is, where Jesus is talking to the disciples, those idiots. and they're going, and he's saying, oh, when you visited me in jail, or when you fed me, or brought me water. And they're going, we don't remember doing that. When did we see you and visit you in jail? When did we? And he goes, no, don't you understand? When you did that, you were doing it for me. So as dads, we gotta be involved in our daughter's life. So when she is patient with her little brother, or is generous to a stranger, or compassionate to a friend, so we can see, sweetheart, see how Jesus is working in your life? You mm-hmm. see that? You see how, so she can, that's you mm-hmm. reflecting how Christ is in your life. Because I think dads are the best person to point out these traits in our daughter and show her how Christ has transformed her life. Because you knew her before and after kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you see, what happens is when she looks in the mirror, and instead of seeing somebody who needs to change and is not in seeing the low value, the low self-esteem, she looks in that mirror and sees Jesus.
Amen.
She is worth Jesus.
Amen.
So that's how to fight the whole self-esteem battles, is to get your daughter to understand her identity in Christ. And there you go.
Amen.
I can't say that's not the answer to all things that are of everything we ever deal with as a dad. That's pretty much close to job one.
Amen. And your text that you used there from Psalms 127, which is one of my favorite passages, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hand. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. It goes on to say that you can even speak with the enemies at the gate.
Oh, right. You know what? Psalm 127, that's a pretty good... It's not long. You can memorize this week
yes,
you can memorize that.
Yes, it starts out, except the Lord build the house, they labor
exactly right.
in vain
exactly
that
right.
build it.
But I love that image, dads. If you want... the image of to meditate on of a warrior, and you've got that arrow, and you pull it out of your quiver, and you sharpen it.
Mm-hmm.
You make it so it's straight and true, and you look at the fletching, the feathers, mm-hmm. and then you find a target. You need a different target for every one of those arrows, and you pull it close to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You pull the arrow close to your heart, and you say a little prayer, but you stand firm.
Yes.
You stand firm,
mm-hmm.
and you let that arrow fly. To do great things, and then it was so much fun. You do it for all the other arrows in your quiver, one at a time.
Yes.
Psalm 127, that's great.
Yes.
That's great.
What
Rose.
A wonderful way to conclude the show. I've been talking to Jay Payleitner. He is the author of a number of books here. I think it's like, what, eight?
Something like that.
And you can go and learn more at fathers52.com. And in conclusion, I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.